Yeah, you know, we are in changing times, right? The only thing constant is change. And if you want to continue, or we want to continue to be innovative, we want to be a leader in technology, we want to maintain a workforce that enables us to really lead an organization, an inclusive culture is part of that formula. And in addition, our customers, our suppliers are also on this journey. They want to work with a company or buy from a company that shares that same drive to make sure it's more diverse, more equitable, more inclusive, right? And so inclusion is a business imperative to stay in business.
That was Siemens USA Head of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Nichelle Grant. And in this episode, Nichelle and I sit down to discuss her career path and journey into the DEI role at Siemens USA, how she thinks about prioritizing DEI in remote and hybrid environments, collaborating with global groups, and why it's important to extend your DEI efforts out to the supply chain. And we'll be back with that conversation after a brief word from our sponsor. It's time to let go of past perceptions of HR. Amplify is a new model of agency designed from the ground up to support business and people leaders navigate the new world of work. We do that through two platforms. Our HR executive search practice is a new model of agency that moves away from traditional search models with our flat fee structure and advisory on the front and back end to help our clients attract and retain transformational people leaders. Our Amplify Accelerator is a unique platform to support continuous learning and build readiness, capability, and global networks for today's people leaders through cohorts, community, and resources to support their growth. Learn more at amplifytalent.com. Now, on to the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Redefining HR Podcast. I'm your host, Lars Schmidt, and today I'm really excited to be joined by Nichelle Grant. Nichelle is the head of diversity, equity, and inclusion for Siemens USA, and we're going to talk about her career path through Siemens into this role and how she approaches doing the DEI work at Siemens USA. So, Nichelle, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I'd love to have you open with an introduction.
Thank you so much, Lars. Yes, Nichelle Grant, head of diversity, equity, and inclusion for Siemens in the USA. Been with Siemens 22 plus years now in various roles. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, so Nichelle, you have an interesting background because, as you mentioned, you spent 22 years at Siemens. You worked in a variety of different roles, kind of business and operational roles, before moving into your current position as head of DEI. And the way that you moved into that role was actually an interesting story. So you were a member of the Diversity Council. You were a member of ERGs within Siemens. And then, you know, this role is a role that you moved into. And I'd love to hear more about that journey for you. Was this a newly created role within the business that they created for you based on the role? Like, and then what were your thoughts on, you know, moving maybe more from the operational side of the business into this this DEI function?
Yeah, well, you know, Lars, I was taught at an early age, you know, that I could put my mind to anything, I can do anything. And I was also taught to set goals. And so I had a goal to really, you know, get my degree. I have a bachelor's degree in zoology. And in my early career, I was going to go on to med school and different things like that. But I really got involved in lab equipment. And Siemens was looking for somebody with a science degree that could work on lab equipment and training. And so I started with what's now Smart Infrastructure, and the stars just aligned. And now, 22 years later into my Siemens career, I really have kept my goals in front of me. I've had various mentors and different journeys throughout my time here. And I found that, you know, I really wanted to contribute to improving the work environment, our culture. So I got involved with DEI at Siemens, just volunteering, like you said, right? Leading ERGs in various roles. And in my current role, which was one that our CEO, Barbara Humpton, put into place, really has drawn me to tap into all those experience that I've had for DEI and the work we do. I come from a long line of DEI champions in my family and different experiences. I can even remember when I was young, right? Doing different things that really made society better through my college years and, of course, during my professional years. And I continue to tap into that passion, right? So that even to the point where, you know, I'm certified in diversity, equity, and inclusion. I span multiple different types of topics. And collectively, we at Siemens, right, it's important that we all do our part no matter what we're doing. And so I had the responsibility personally to drive positive change and to leave society better than I found it.
Yeah. So for you, when the CEO kind of created this new position and approached you about moving into it, obviously the work itself is something you've been passionate about and something that you've been a champion for throughout your life, let alone your career. What was your thought process in kind of moving away from that operational background that you had been, you know, for the first 18 or so years of your career at Siemens, you know, into this new role that even though you've been kind of working in this space, having it this kind of dedicated, role designing the overall strategy for DEI for Siemens USA, it was a departure. It was something new. So what was your kind of thought process like as you were contemplating making this move?
I really get into any role that I'm in. And so my first reaction was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. And my second reaction was, wait, I'm not done with what I'm doing. And so I had to think about it a little bit and go, okay, this is an opportunity to really make an impact broader than just the group that I was in. And so I've been able to really kind of transition some of the ideas that I had there at operational level and say, you know, how do I take this to a more broader level across the U.S. in various businesses with various groups and working with a even larger group of people that can make an even bigger impact. So, you know, over time, you kind of get adjusted to having a much broader view on what's going on within the organization. You know, it's a big organization, so it allows us to really kind of tap into various parts of different technologies and solutions. And so therefore, you kind of think differently as you move from group to group because everyone's on a different journey.
And I'd love to frame that. Did you have a rough sense of how many employees are in kind of Siemens USA that you're, you know, that you kind of touch with your work?
Yeah, you know, on any given day, roughly about 40,000 in the U.S. That's including Puerto Rico.
And so you move into this role. It's a new role for the organization. It's a new role for you. Obviously, the work is not new to you. You've been actively involved in ERGs and Diversity Council and more, you know, throughout your career and life. But the work in this context is new for you, like designing the strategy for the organization, you know, designing DEI frameworks and programs that will cut across, you know, a population of over 40,000. You probably came into that role with a lot of ideas of things that you wanted to do, but then when you're actually designing the roadmap for what you will do and when you will do it, you know, now you're kind of putting some constraints against that broader wish list. How did you go about kind of designing your DEI roadmap and strategy when you first moved into the role?
Yeah, you're correct, right? I had lots of ideas. I was like, oh, we could do this and this and this. And so did others within the organization. It was a team effort. It's been almost 3 years now in this role and really making sure that we're prioritizing what we're doing. But when we first started, really to get a sense of where we needed to begin, we started with listening to our leaders, listening to our employees. We established a baseline of what we're already doing, what we needed to do, and what we're going to stop doing. And volunteering over those years really kind of put me in a position where I knew what we had been doing and where we wanted to go. I do have a passionate group of volunteers across our ecosystem. So there's thousands of employees that are like on board, ready to help. And our data tells a story, our employee surveys tell a story. And from there, there's really a choice to make about what actions we're taking that can be impactful. And they're impactful when they have an owner, someone's driving it, and we measure its success. And each year, we review the strategy to make sure that it aligns with these changing times, and it always aligns with our overall business strategies as well.
And so I'm curious, you know, a role like yours, obviously you have a range of different stakeholders within the business that you work with and ultimately work to partner with and develop programs and or influence, kind of depending on the nature of their role in the relationship. And so I want to kind of focus this question first on the people side, right? The HR team within Siemens USA. How do you partner with the head of people, the people team, to really ensure that throughout the people process and systems, they're designing them with prioritizing kind of DEIB outcomes in mind? From I think traditionally firms focused maybe over indexed on recruiting and didn't really take into consideration the entire employee journey. And so as you're influencing the HR and people team specifically, how does that tend to work for you? How do you tend to collaborate with them? And what are maybe some programs on the HR and people side that you've been able to help them develop?
We have a great group of leaders on our people and organization teams, is what our HR team is called. And we have partnered with them because they've really owned their part of this journey that Siemens is on. One of the things I do is I meet regularly with them. We align on our strategic plan. So whether that's talent acquisition, compensation, operations, recruiting, different things like that, we really make sure that we're aligned on here's what we're trying to accomplish and how do we execute those ideas. We exchange ideas. There's programmatic initiatives that we work on together. I believe there's a bit of, I would call, advisory on both sides and consultative type conversations. Their team members then help execute the strategy and implement initiatives. And what that does is really allows us to do our day-to-day responsibilities with a DEI lens.
Yeah, and when you, I guess, on the other side of the people side, another key stakeholder group that your role is vital for your role to be able to influence, are your C-suite peers and the executive team. And I think particularly when you're looking at rolling out new programs or perhaps influencing change and how the organization looks at DEI through that kind of holistic lens across all the people operations, it's vital that executive, those executive stakeholders are involved, they're role modeling, the behaviors that you're trying to reinforce throughout the organization. How, in your journey, kind of how have you worked with your executive peers? And maybe are there any aspects of those relationships that have worked particularly well that you think others might be able to learn from?
Yeah, I would say, leadership is key, right? And having them demonstrate and be a role model for the rest of the organization is also part of that DEI formula. So on a quarterly basis, I have an opportunity to share with my C-suite peers the progress that we are making on the DEI journey, right? I can't do it by myself. I need people on board. I need leaders on board. So I also use that opportunity, though, to reinforce how they as leaders can help with our strategy and initiatives. What we do for DEI at Siemens is really aligned with our global strategic pillars. With each C-suite leader, it aligns with their businesses as well. And that really contributes to, better collaboration for the DEI effort. It contributes to cascading down the DEI messaging. And then you see the employees see their manager and their manager's manager really demonstrating that. It allows us to really have DEI efforts at all levels within the organization, whether you're a supervisor or whether you're the CEO.
And let's talk about that global piece for a moment, because I know your scope is Siemens USA. Obviously, Siemens is a global organization with, you'll correct me on the headcount. I know you want to take a guess, but I know it's significant. And when you think about your role, and I don't know if you have kind of DEI, head of DEI counterparts for the international operations, but I would love to learn more about, how you interact with the non-US components of the business to drive and support DEI, particularly also with the nuance of, the global conversations, or I'd say the conversations we have around DEI tend, there are global aspects to them, but they're also, regional or even country specific aspects to them. So I'd love to just get your thoughts on how you collaborate more on the global side of the business to support Siemens DEI efforts?
Yeah, we have 300,000 plus employees across Siemens globally. So it is a large organization. And with Siemens being a global company, what we do in the U.S. most certainly impacts and influences the global effort of DEI. Our global chief diversity officer and her team collaborate with us on various DEI initiatives, as well as our ERGs, such as our Pride ERG or our Women's Impact Network ERG, co-host or jointly host programs and events that bring the intersectionality across countries together, you know, just to name a few. And it's very impactful. And so we really make sure that we globally have a foundational messaging that we have that we use across all countries. And then we build up regionally on what works for us in the U.S. versus Canada versus other countries. And so really, we really talk about belonging, transforming, and what that means to us globally and how we in each of our various countries can help drive a sense of belonging within our employees as well as out to the communities in which our businesses sit.
And looking back, I think you mentioned you've been in this role for 3 years now. Are there any, when you look back at some of your accomplishments to date, what stands out to you? What are you most proud of that you've been able to build within Siemens USA?
I think I would start with our employee resource groups. You know, they've been around, right? But I think we're taking them to the next level. We have 9 national ERGs with 10,000 plus employees engaged in advocacy, networking, mentoring, and every employee can be a part of any ERG. There's benefits of being a part of an ERG in terms of really allowing yourself to be exposed to lots of different things that Siemens does. And it's important that we develop our employees and we give them opportunities to learn, even provide leadership opportunities, growth opportunities, training. They help with talent acquisition. They really help drive changes to policies and procedures so we're more inclusive, right? And while we've made improvements, there's always room for more improvement. So we really lean on our employee resource groups to do that and really making that business connection so the businesses can pull in the ERGs and the talent that's there for things like ideation, future marketplaces, right? Efficiencies and processes. And so we really are really taking a look at how we can elevate employee resource groups to do even more within the organization. I think it's an essential part of that.
Traditional HR and learning systems are largely rooted in legacy mindsets and practices. They're not equipped to keep pace with the dynamic times we've experienced since the events of 2020 and beyond. That's why I launched the Amplify Accelerator. The Amplify Accelerator is a platform for connecting, developing, and supporting the next generation of people leaders. Designed to support continuous learning and build capabilities and connections, the Accelerator helps modern people leaders build the necessary skills to successfully navigate this new world of work. The flagship of the Amplify Accelerator is the Cohort Program. These peer-based learning courses are designed to help you become a more confident people leader, armed with a new global peer community and a toolkit full of actionable advice, resources, templates, and more. Cohort students engage in a mix of synchronous and asynchronous learning designed to fit into the schedules of today's people leaders. You'll also learn from world-class guest instructors including Katie Burke, Caitlin Holloway, Pat Waters, Claude Silver, AJ Thomas, Tiffany Stevenson, and so many more. Ready to invest in yourself? Learn more at amplifytalent.com/cohorts. Yeah, it's interesting. I think, ERGs, there's so many different ways that companies approach designing, supporting, and really kind of leaning on their ERGs. And I like the way you framed the business connection to the ERGs in terms of informing products and product roadmaps and things like that, because I think that's not always an element of ERGs, but I think it's a smart way to be leveraging just the teams and the expertise and the perspectives within them to actually make a business influence. And I also like that you mentioned kind of coupling it with specific coaching and training and growth and developmental opportunities for members of the ERGs, so that they're also getting that additional support and lift in their careers by participating.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're not in an ERG, right, we still embrace the development of our employees. We have what we call is owning your career type of culture, where we drive empowerment and the growth mindset in people practices. So, for example, employees can build their own team of mentors. They can shadow other jobs they're interested in. They can connect with leaders to get inspired and see what else we're doing within within Siemens that you may be interested in before just making the leap and saying, oh, that's not quite what I wanted to do. We showcase our exceptional role models as sources of inspiration. So owning your career doesn't mean just, you know, moving from job to job. It's really a journey that you can manage on your own and really drive that and understand the full opportunities available within the organization.
Well, I'd love to ask you about a quote you had in an interview earlier this year where you talked about inclusive business is inevitable. And I would love to just kind of get your, you know, just hear more of your thoughts on that and kind of how that ties into how you kind of think about this new world of work that we're building.
Yeah, you know, we are in changing times, right? The only thing constant is change. And if you want to continue, or we want to continue to be innovative, we want to be a leader in technology, we want to maintain a workforce that enables us to really lead an organization, an inclusive culture is part of that formula. And in addition, our customers, our suppliers are also on this journey. They want to work with a company or buy from a company that shares that same drive to make sure it's more diverse, more equitable, more inclusive, right? And so inclusion is a business imperative to stay in business. And so that's what I mean by inclusive business is inevitable. If you want to stay in business, you really need to take a look at your inclusivity and be as inclusive as possible.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about supply chain as well, because I know, you know, the way that you approach DEI at Siemens doesn't stop within the walls of, you know, Siemens employees. It extends out to your supply chain and your partner vendors. And so why was that important to you? Obviously, having a scope of 40,000 employees already you're overseeing is a significant population. Taking that out to the vendor community extends that even further. And so I'd love to learn more about your thoughts on really making sure that diversifying the supplier and supply chain kind of ecosystem for Siemens USA was also part of your equation.
Yeah, you know, when we look across our overall DEI strategy, again, it's not just about talent acquisition. It's not just about the employees. You know, we're all here to provide the right solutions, services, and give excellent customer experience as well. And part of that excellent customer experience is who do we do business with? And that could be direct and indirect supply chain. And so we revamped maybe about a year and a half ago our whole supplier diversity program, really training our procurement organization, our sales organization, and our leadership about why diversifying our suppliers is key. We do an annual recognition awards luncheon to really recognize those suppliers that do exceptional work with us. And we really feel that it's important that as the company that we're trying to do in terms of technology, that we work with suppliers that have the same belief system and the same drive that we have for DEI. And so that's why we make an effort to really intentionally be inclusive of all different suppliers across the various things that we need in order to serve our customers.
And, you know, another topic I'd love to get your perspective on is remote and hybrid work. You know, I think as many organizations today, especially organizations that had workers who were able to work remotely during the pandemic, most of them are hybrid to some extent by default. And more companies that are being created today, especially in tech, are you know, being built fully distributed from the start. And I think when you look at equity and the importance of maintaining equity within organizations in these new, more so hybrid than fully distributed organizations, you know, that does add another layer of complexity in terms of ensuring that the experience for all employees remains equitable. And I'd love to get your perspective. You know, is Siemens in the U.S. group, I know you'll have some people working in plants and areas, I'm sure, that, you know, will need to be on premises. But for those of workers that are not and are hybrid, how do you think about, you know, kind of proactively working to ensure equity in environments where some people are coming to an office, some people are not?
You know, Lars, we are now more than ever prioritizing diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And inclusion efforts is essential to making sure this successful remote hybrid model works. We, as humans, want to feel like we belong, right? When we were kids, we wanted to belong on the playground. Well, as adults, we want to feel like we belong to our organization, to our team. And it's much easier to feel that way when you could walk down the hall and see each other day after day, right? But now you may see me in person, but it's not always you really see me on this digital type platform. And because of that, it takes extra effort to be sure that all employees feel like they belong. You can't peanut butter it across the overall teams and say, I'm going to talk to everyone the same way in terms of your interaction, right? You have to make sure that you engage each one individually. You know, and also would say that, you know, I like to think about those that have jobs that didn't have the option to work remote or from home, right? Employees in our manufacturing plants, our technicians, and many others. They have been diligent and dedicated to maintaining a high quality of delivery for our customers. But no matter where you work, right, or what you do, people want to feel like they belong, and belonging really does transform society. And we've taken it to the next level where it's a permanent policy that you can work from home 2 to 3 days a week globally, right? Not just in Nichelle's team or not just in Lara's team. It's across the whole globe, which is really exciting because that means Siemens is taking it seriously, that they realize that this remote hybrid model is the new normal. And here's how we are going to support our employees in terms of being flexible in terms of their work, working time.
And is there any way, because I know one of the key components of that working effectively, so much of that comes down to managers, right? And I think for a lot of managers who are, you know, accustomed to working in co-located environments, the art of managing people in that environment is different than the art of managing people in hybrid and distributed environments. And so do you have any kind of programs to support managers on how they might need to think or act or coordinate differently when they're supporting hybrid teams?
Yes, we have a plethora of different resources that a manager can use or learn from or tap into in order to just kind of get a sense of what they should be doing, what the expectations of their team should be, how to check in with their teams to see how they're doing, questions they can ask in order to kind of make sure that they have an understanding of each individual's drive and what's driving that employee to stay with the organization. Also, really some key techniques on how to use digital platforms and really make them more interactive, how to use the chat function, how to use some of the accessibility functions in order to make the experience even more interactive as possible, given that you aren't face-to-face, right, where you could do other things that you would normally do face-to-face that you could do through the platform. And so when we take a look at, you know, how do we support our managers in making sure that they are equipped with what they need, we put together a whole internal intranet site that allows them to have this go-to one spot to be able to get all of those informations and needs and training in order to move their team forward into this hybrid remote work, including, you know, managing the mental health topic, right? Making sure you see signs of somebody that may need help in terms of prioritization or their schedule, making sure that you check in with your team on that mental health. How are you doing, right? So it's really important for us to really support our managers going forward on how that remote work can work for them, and also making sure they have the tools to be sure that they know how to make it successful so that they can still reach their business goals.
Rochelle, I really appreciate you sharing your role, your work, and your experience at Siemens with myself and listeners. We close every episode with a lightning round just to help the audience get to know you a little bit better. So we always start with music. I'm checking out your Spotify playlist or wherever you listen to music. Who will I learn are some of your top three artists in heavy rotation?
You know, let's see. I'm not quite a Spotify listener. I do Apple Music.
Okay.
But I tend to listen by genre, right? I like anything like the 80s. So Journey, Foreigner, Billy Idol. And I like to listen to a collective that they call The Lounge. It's like a group of artists that, you know, it helps you relax and kind of just lets it play and allows you to just kind of more zen.
Okay. I am absolutely with you on the 80s rock. You hit my playlist with that one. So let's talk TV. What was your latest binge on TV?
My latest one was watching all of Downton Abbey again.
Okay.
I could watch it over and over again. I watch it as if I didn't even know what was going to happen.
All right. I know you studied zoology in school. We're going to shift careers. So I'm going to take off the table, obviously, your DEI work now. I'm going to take off the table the operational work you did at Siemens prior to that. If you were starting your career over, what would you be doing?
Oh, man. You know, I'd love to get into acting. You know, perhaps a sitcom on TV or a movie or something like that. Totally different from what I'm doing now.
And Michelle, last question for you. Who is one HR leader who you admire and why?
That's an interesting question. You know, I typically lean towards more like motivational practitioners. Right now, I love Brené Brown is one of those key leaders that just help drive some of the things that we're trying to do holistically, no matter what your role is within the organization, and how to be vulnerable, how to be authentic.
Yeah, I think you are not the first guest to cite Brené Brown and her work as inspiration. So, Michelle, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your journey and your story. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Lars. Same to you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Redefining HR. For more information on the podcast, past episodes, future guests, the Redefining HR book, or free resources, be sure to check out redefininghr.com. And if you dig this podcast, why don't you share it with your CEO, your executive team, and your friends to help them discover what Redefining HR is all about. If you really dig this podcast, I'd love for you to leave a review on whatever podcast delivery vehicle your ears prefer. See you next week.